to learn there. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, both in order and in chronological order. Chapter 1, we saw God already showing that he's not happy with his children. The silent period is coming. And here in chapter 2, he now rebukes his priests that are not carrying out their priestly duty. So we'll look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 this evening. He says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." So, O ye priests, is our title tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, teach us, speak to our hearts as your New Testament priests, Lord, and teach us, Lord, to be the kind of priests you want us to be, and remind us about this tonight. So have your will and way in our hearts, and may you be glorified and guide us in Christ's name. Amen. So we can take from this tonight a lot of advice, because you and I were assigned a priestly office, if you will, the day we got saved. We no longer have Old Testament priests, do we? We no longer have people that we bring our sacrifice to the temple and he sacrifices it on our behalf, which was their primary duty. And then, of course, the high priest, who once a year would go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the people. All that went away with Calvary. But in its place now, we have the New Testament priesthood, which is, if you go to 1 Peter 2, it's most talked about. And a lot of Christians don't quite understand this, because, you know, when we hear that word priest in church age, we often think of the Catholic Church system. And, of course, that is something that was invented by man. It doesn't come from Scripture at all. But that shouldn't make us afraid of this truth that you and I are priests of the Lord. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Look down at verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So in 5, we're called a holy priesthood. In 9, we're called a royal priesthood. And so when we get on our knees and when we offer up prayers on the behalf of others, we are executing our office as New Testament priests. In a sense, even when we share the gospel with a lost person, we are acting as a go-between, are we not? God refers to us in 2 Corinthians 5 as ambassadors for Christ. So we are offering to a lost person God's solution to their sin problem when we share the gospel with lost people. And so we can take a lot of advice from this tonight, because God says that even in the kingdom age, we will be kings and priests. I'm not sure how that will work in the kingdom age. I'm just glad that we get to be there. But for this age, for the church age, we are priests when we pray for others. If you look at Ephesians 6:18, God makes it very clear that this is one of our duties as God's children, Ephesians 6:18, that we pray one for another. Now, Ephesians 6, of course, is about the armor of God. Chapter 6, verses 10 down through verse 17 is talking about the armor. But at verse 18, look what he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So when we gather together on a Wednesday evening after we go to the Word of God and we pray one for another, we are executing our office, if you will, as New Testament priests. When we are in our prayer closet and we pray one for another, we're executing our office as New Testament priests. So the advice he gives to these Old Testament priests here at the very end of his prophetic period in the Old Testament, we can take on board ourselves. So let's look at it together in chapter 2, verse 2 of Malachi. He says, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart. So the first thing that we see that he wants of his priests is that we hear the word of God and we lay it to heart. And of course, we know as Christians, God wants this for us, that we not only be hearers of the word, but what? Doers as well. And James, not only not be hearers only, but doers of the word in James chapter 1. And he says also that we should lay it to heart. And we know all through the scriptures we're commanded to put his word in our heart. That word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Deuteronomy 6:6. The first one is Psalm 119:11. So God wants us to hear his word and to lay it to heart. But then secondly, he says there in verse 2, and to give glory unto my name. So God also wants his priests to not only lay the word of God to their hearts, but he wants them to glorify him. And these Old Testament priests were not, but you and I as New Testament priests, isn't that why we're here? Is to bring glory to God. And we read that in 1 Corinthians 6:20, if you want to turn there. But God says that everything that we do, which is 1 Corinthians 10:31, do it all to the glory of God. Notice 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. And that price, of course, is the blood of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since you're bought with a price, since God now owns us, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So as New Testament priests, we can take this advice. We need to hear the word of God and lay it to heart. And we need to bring glory unto God. We are here to glorify our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He continues there in verse 5 of our passage, Malachi 2, and says, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him, talking about the original priest, Levi, for the fear wherewith he feared me. He's saying, I want my priests to fear the Lord. And of course, are we not commanded to fear the Lord? He expounds upon that a little bit when he says there in verse 8, but ye are departed out of the way. In other words, we're to fear the Lord, which means we're to walk with him. We're to not leave his way. And of course, Jesus tells us that we're to fear the Lord in all that we do. He says, fear not them which kill the body, Matthew chapter 10, but fear him which can kill thy soul and thy body in hell. We're to spend our lives fearing God. And the fear of the Lord should govern our behavior, just as it should have governed the Old Testament priest's behavior, but they had lost this reverence, this fear of the Lord. And God tells us, if you go to Hebrews chapter 12, that we should live our lives this way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. And so already we've seen he wants us to hear the word of God and lay it to heart. He wants us to glorify God in all that we do. And he wants us to live our lives in the fear of the Lord. Notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be removed, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Reverence and godly fear. The priests had lost their reverence for God. But may we never lose our reverence and godly fear for our God. So hear the word of God and lay it to heart. Glorify God in all that we do. Fear the Lord. Then he goes on to say in verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth and iniquity was not found in his lips. He says, one of the things about my original priests is they kept their tongue under control. And does God ask this of us as his children? Of course he does. There's so many scriptures in the New Testament about our tongue, are there not? Ephesians 4:29, a classic example where that everything should be grace, that it may, or that it should administer grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And so God warns us as well. Let the words of my mouth, David said, in the meditation of my heart, be acceptable on thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So as God's priest, he wants us to hear the word of God and lay it to heart. He wants us to glorify God in all that we do. He wants us to fear him, revere him, and he wants us to keep our tongue under control. James tells us, if you go to James chapter 3, that if we can't keep our tongue under control, that we can't keep our Christianity under control. It's quite a fascinating truth. We looked at this a couple of years ago. But he says there, verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. So there he says that our tongue can defile our entire body. Our entire Christianity can be defiled by our tongue. Verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so as God's New Testament priest, he wants us to keep our tongue always under control, just as he wanted his Old Testament priest to do. And then in verse 6, I love what it says here. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. Isn't that good? He turned people away from sin. Well, how can we do that? Well, that's simple. We need to share the gospel with them so that they will repent and turn to God for their salvation and be rescued from their sin. Go to 1 Corinthians 9:16. And Paul made it very clear that as New Testament priests, this is one of our main duties, is that we turn people away from sin, be God's messenger. As it said in verse 7, notice 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. Jude verse 23 says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So be that messenger of the Lord and turn people away from iniquity. And then verse 8, you've caused many to stumble at the law. Doesn't the Bible have something to say about us not causing others to stumble? An example is 1 Corinthians 8, if you want to turn there. I think you were just in 9, but in 1 Corinthians 8:9, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. 1 Corinthians 9:12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul said, the last thing I would ever want to do is make a Christian stumble. And he's saying to these Old Testament priests, you're causing my people to stumble at the law. So as God's priests, he wants us to hear his word and lay it to heart, same as the Old Testament. He wants us to glorify God. That hasn't changed. He wants us to fear Him. That's never changed. Or revere Him. He wants us to keep our tongue under control. That's always been true. Look at Proverbs. He wants us to be God's messenger. And by that, turn many away from iniquity. And not cause our brothers and sisters to stumble. And he finishes, verse 9, but you've been partial. God never wants there to be partiality in Christians. What does that mean? Well, I'll go to James chapter 2 and we'll see, but as New Testament priests, we are also commanded to not be partial. What does that mean? It means that we should love all of our brothers and sisters in Christ and treat all with equal kindness and charity and not base it on them, just like God doesn't love us based on us. Amen? He loves us based on who He is. We're to be the same. James chapter 2, my brethren, verse 1, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? I find it hard to believe, but it's actually true. There is a church in this country that will turn people away at the door if the pastor's not happy with how they're dressed. And send them on their way. I just can't believe it, but I've confirmed that it is true. I don't know how that's even possible. How a person could be that partial based on the externals and turn a sheep of God away from hearing God's word, but it goes on. And we're commanded to never be this way, to never be partial. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, without preferring one before another, do nothing by partiality, he said. And as James warned us there, don't be partial. Love everyone equally. So that's just 7 things that we can learn from God's rebuke of his priests in their final days. Because during the 400 years of silence from God, there wasn't much sacrificing going on. Jerusalem was pretty much not functioning as it used to. The temple had already been destroyed and rebuilt, but wasn't in the same glory as the original temple. And yeah, the sacrifices pretty much ended during that time. But you and I are priests of God. We've been given this beautiful office and opportunity. And as priests, hear the word of God, lay it to heart, glorify God in all you do, fear and revere the Lord, keep your tongue under control, be God's messenger to a lost and dying world. Don't cause your brothers and sisters to stumble, and don't be partial. Good lesson from Malachi of all places. He said, O ye priests, Lord willing, he was not saying that to us, but instead he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this lesson from the Old Testament rebuke of your priests. And I pray that we would take heed to these things and be the kind of priest you want us to be, Lord, and intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters, and also to be this kind of priest, to be this example, and also, Lord, to be that ambassador to the lost as well. Lord, help us to be real in our Christianity. We love you so much, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.